I'll be reading Genesis 17, 1 through 7, and 15 through 16 from the NIV. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her.
Our scripture this morning is the story of God's covenant to Abraham and Sarah. God essentially promises Abraham and Sarah that a very fruitful future awaits them and will be carried forth for generations to come through their lives. Despite evidence to the contrary, Sarah's barrenness, Abraham's great age of 99, and the very fact that as far as Scripture indicates, there are no special qualities about this man and woman. In fact, both Sarah and Abraham are unexceptionally flawed, as are most of our biblical ancestors when we look at it. Abraham's acts are at times unprincipled, like twice when he lies out of fear about Sarah not being his wife, saying she's really just his sister, or when Abraham and Sarah preempt God's plans by using Hagar, their Egyptian maidservant, as a surrogate mother for carrying God's promise into the future. Or Abraham's willingness to turn over his two virgin daughters to the wicked men of Sodom rather than turn them over to the two visiting angels, and I assume were more than well equipped to handle any problems on their own. We also know that just as Abraham and Sarah were called to be the first fruits of God's covenant promise, such promises do not necessarily unfold without many pitfalls and dangers along the way. For example, in chapter 13 of Genesis, Abraham and his nephew Lot have a little falling out and a parting of ways. Then in chapter 14, there's a little family dysfunction when Abraham's grandnieces, Lot's daughters, get their father drunk and lay with him and become pregnant. I would call that dysfunctional. Then, of course, there is the ultimate loyalty test that God places on Abraham when he is called to sacrifice Isaac. Challenging to say the least, and though passed with shining colors by Abraham, still a very unexpected challenge. That little test could have gone terribly wrong. What I'm trying to say is that even in one of the greatest callings of all biblical stories, things don't unfold necessarily as planned. Or at least how we might have planned it. I make this point because it ties, I think, into Jean and Carolyn's story this morning. Like Abraham and Sarah, you didn't elaborate on it too much, but I understand you had a number of challenges and complications in your journey. One of which was a lot of the products were held up in customs, and some of them didn't even, you know, got. Some of them got waylaid through theft, basically. But like Abraham and Sarah, they heard the call from God, and out of faith, they followed that call. Go and share, they heard, this sewing ministry to your sisters and brothers in India. On some level, you heard that, right? Am I correct? Yeah. Well, and like Abraham and Sarah, they set out to be faithful to that call, not knowing exactly how it would unfold. And like Abraham and Sarah, they were what we might call, there were glitches along the way, as I said. And finally, like Abraham and Sarah, God was faithful and new things had been set into play or given birth as a result of that simple act of obedience. That's what faith is. It's moving forward with our lives and leveraging what we have and what we believe we are being called to do and moving forward without knowing exactly whether we succeed or how things will turn out. And when we really stop to consider the matter, a lot of things, in fact, most of things in life are like that. When we get married, we may have a vision for how we think this marriage should be, yet new things unfold as the relationship develops, and we deal with it. When we have kids, we may have had a vision for them, yet things unfold as they make their own choices and follow their own path. When we take on a new job, we may have hopes and aspirations, yet things just unfold, maybe not the way we had thought. When we go on a trip, we may have our detailed itinerary planned, yet things unfold, unforeseen. It makes it an adventure. When we take on ministries never done before, we feel God has given us very clear marching orders, yet we have to remember, things still unfold. All God asks of us as we move forward in faith, in anything we do, is to first listen, and then discern, and then to act. And finally, to trust that God's presence and God's sovereignty is more than sufficient. What else can we do? Centuries after God's covenant call to Abraham and Sarah, after the great kingdom established by David and Solomon, after a succession of many other kings, that mighty nation of Judah eventually was no more. People had questions about the great promises God made. And while much of the community of Israel was far away in Babylonian captivity or in exile, the words of God came to the prophet Isaiah as a great reminder once again of God's promises. In Isaiah 55, 9 to 11, you might be very familiar with it. It's some of the beautiful poetry of the biblical prophets. Isaiah says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so my word goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it." That's the promise. That's the promise. So we can have heart as travelers in the faith together. Despite things maybe unfolding or not unfolding as we imagine them to be, we can have faith that God's promises are being worked out in all we do in our life. And maybe it's a good thing we don't see what is ahead of us, because if we did, we may not do a lot of the things we do. But we trust that God goes with us in our journey. All we are asked to do is listen, act, and believe, and then trust that God will bless it and do the rest. Amen.